just fine. Catch you when you fall, be there when you call. It's never too much, I got you real tall.
Namahi nui kia koutou. I'm Tania Carr and you're listening to the Real Talk podcast. Here at Real Talk, we create space for authenticity, awareness, and making a positive impact on the world around us. Real talk, real people, real stories. Ngā mihi nui kia koutou katoa, nau mai hoki mai ki te kaupapa kōrero Real Talk. I'm Tania Carr, and today in this episode, you're going to hear the powerful story of Jonique Ollie. Jonique proudly and gracefully took the stage at our Real Talk Mō ngā rangatahi event in Ahuriri, Napier, sharing her story of wisdom, love, heartbreak and hope. Some of her kōrero she has never shared in public before, so we're extremely privileged to have her share her story with us on the Real Talk stage. I want to personally take this opportunity to acknowledge the power, the beauty, the strength and the inspiration that Jonique is to many. Ngā mihi nui rawa atu ki a koe I ngā wā katoa. It's important to note that there are some triggering subjects in this kōrero, so if you get triggered by this kōrero, there are some support contact numbers listed in the show notes for you to utilise. Here is Jonique's story.
He wewe Ngāti no Porairangi, he iwi moke no Waiapu, no whangaoke nā no Hikurangi, he wewe, he Ngāti, he whanoke. Tēnā rā tātou, ko Jonique Ollie tōku ingoa. I hail from the mighty East Coast. So I'm very privileged to be standing here tonight for this Real Talk, even though I'm not from here. I te taha o tōku māma, my whānau are the kaiwai from Mangahania and the kārini from Uawa. And I te taha o tōku papa, my whānau are the hawa from Te Awera and the Crawfords from Uawa. So yeah, I've lived here in Kahungunu for 7 years, my darling's from here, and so that's what brings us here. And I have grown to love this place like my own home. I'm really glad that I can't see you guys because I was quite nervous just sitting over there before. So yeah, he mihi tēnei kia koe Tania and your crew for organising this beautiful night and for allowing me to be on your stage tonight. Thank you so much. I actually had a talk prepared for weeks for you guys, and on our drive here I'd said I'm not gonna use it. I'm just gonna talk to take the pressure off myself trying to remember everything, and hopefully I don't regret it at the end of the talk. Some of you may know me from my Pākehi Waiapu Road. Some of you may know me as Pleti's wife. I get that a lot. Like, oh, that's Pleti's wife, Councillor Ollie, Sormes Touch Barber, the barber. I'm the scary wife that he outs on all his TV interviews. That's me, kia ora. And yeah, he's from the beautiful golden sands of Satuiatua in Samoa, and I'm from the beautiful golden sands of Uawa in Tolaga Bay. So, yeah, it's quite a beautiful connection. We've got three tamariki there and one on the way. And actually, when I said yes to this kaupapa, I wasn't hapu. And so, aroha mai if I'm laughing 1 minute and crying the next. It's definitely the baby. Let's blame the baby. Yes, yeah, so this is my whānau. This is my why. This is what I do, everything that I do for. It's them. And when I was putting together my kōrero, there hasn't been one moment in my life that's made me who I am. There hasn't been one defining moment. And I feel like my life has actually been a collection of defining and refining moments that have made me the wahine that I am today. And so tonight my kōrero is touching on each of those moments, touching on those key events that broke me really and rebuilt me to make me who I am today. I mean, I feel like I can't acknowledge one event without the other, and each of them have all played a part in making me who I am. So this is my mahi. I'm currently on maternity leave, but my day job is a careers advisor and a guidance counsellor at Te Kura Kaupapa Māori o Te Wānanga Whare Tāpiri o Tāke Temu. I'm also the owner of Waiapu Road, if you guys have heard of my business. I'm also studying psychology and counselling degree. So all up, you know, our whānau is quite a busy whānau, but everything that we do, we're really passionate about. It's not a life for everyone. You know, our whānau, our kids, all their life we've been busy. My husband's in district council. He does, you know, different contracting work, and we're always just, we go. We're a go whānau. But everything we do, everything we touch is intentional, and we're passionate about it. And so it's we lead a life that we love. This is my business here. So Waiapu Road was inspired, obviously, the road that leads me home. And it is, so Waiapu Road, who here has heard the song 35? I've seen you guys all doing TikTok, so I know you know. Yeah. So Waiapu Road is also known as 35. It's the same road, and it's a road that stretches from Uawa all the way up the coast. It's just one highway, and that's where I was raised, all along that road. So that's what my pākehi was inspired by. And these are some of the beautiful wahine. So these kākahu are kākahu that I've created for my pākehi, and these are some of the women that have worn them in. And I think my pākehi and who I am as well is someone that is very passionate about empowering people, but especially wahine. And as I talk, I guess you guys will get why. You'll understand why that's so important to me. And so my business is something that I'm very, very proud of. This is me, baby me. And that's our homestead, our Kaiwai homestead, that sits neatly on Waiapu Road. So that's it, just out of Uawa in Mangatuna. And so I had a very, very humble upbringing, straight country kid. So don't let the glitz and glam fool you. I can shaukina and I can do all the things. So we gravel road. My nan used to hand wash our clothes. We had long drops, you know. We used to bath in a bucket by the fire, that kind of upbringing. And I think it was that upbringing that made me, and I never forget, that it's, even, as humble as it was, I wouldn't change my upbringing for the world. It reminds me of where I started, and it reminds me of why I do what I do. And I have had the most fond memories, my childhood, have the most fond memories and the most heartbreaking memories as well, but this place here holds a lot of good memories for me. This is my whānau. This is my whānau. So my mum there on the, wait, what side is that? Left. that's me and my sister. So she was, my parents were teen parents. And I ended up being raised by my Crawford grandparents, which are the two on the left. In the top photo. So they raised me from a baby to about when I was 14. And I grew up with a sense of resentment. Like I wondered why of all my siblings, you know, my parents had split up and had new whānau and stuff, but I always wondered why I was the one that kind of got left behind, you know, like why was I the one that got given away kind of thing. But in hindsight, being raised by my grandparents was a taonga that not many people get to have, and they are an integral part of who I am. And I'm very lucky that all four of my grandparents are still alive and well today, and that our tamariki gets to spend, they spend every holidays, I ship them off, go back to Nan and Papa. But, you know, they share a lot of mātauranga and a lot of love that isn't present here today, and so I'd never take them for granted. They mean the world to me. So yeah, this is us, this is my upbringing. And this is, when I, growing up, I experienced a lot of alcoholism, drug abuse in my whānau, and a lot of domestic violence. And I feel like, as a child, witnessing those things, it was around all the time, I internalized it, I stored it, and it became part of who I was. So as I grew and as I, you know, came into adulthood, the things that I had experienced in my environment were things that I thought were normal. So the domestic violence, the drug abuse, you know, toxic traits and behaviors, I thought that was normal because I grew up seeing that every day. And what I share about my whānau, it's not to whakaiti them because I love them so much, but it's just to share the actual experience of being a child that has witnessed that growing up and how it affected me. And so I embodied that behaviour as I grew because I thought it was normal. And it wasn't until I learned that I could unlearn those behaviours that life changed for me. And I acknowledge that all behaviour has a whakapapa. It all comes from somewhere. And I also acknowledge the effects of colonisation and the cycles that my whānau carried. And I also acknowledge the cycles that we've broken with each generation, and turning generational trauma into a generation of healing, which is something that I'm very proud that our tamariki walk on. They walk in the generation of healing where we walked in the generation of trauma. So I really do acknowledge that. This is my brother-in-law, Somi. Somi was so talented. He had the world at his feet. Charming, fun, happy. He was a great dancer, and all our kids loved him. And in 2012, he committed suicide. I was there the night that he committed suicide, and I remember seeing him. We didn't have any idea. And I remember seeing him for the last time. He had just strolled in. You know, what I noticed was weird was he didn't eat his kai. Like, my husband has a whānau. I think there were like 20 of us living at the houses. There were two houses that they own, and he's got like 10 siblings. There were like 20 of us living at the home. And so if you didn't eat, you were going to miss out. And I remember thinking, oh, why? I wonder why he didn't eat his kai. He kind of just walked in, looked around, and then walked out. And then what seemed like minutes later, I heard my sister-in-law screaming his name. But it was that cry, that mamai cry. And we raced to her in the shed just outside to see him hanging. And Somi was a defining moment in my life. Saw him hanging. And I remember I was the one that called the ambulance. We had cut him down. And I remember the phone person, the phone operator saying, you have to breathe, just breathe. So I was having a panic attack and my ribs were sore, and I just couldn't fathom the situation that we were in and what I was looking at. But it was too late, and he was gone. He didn't get resuscitated. And one thing that I'll never forget is when his body was being pushed out on the stretcher. And that was when my husband, my boyfriend at the time, had come back from mahi, and I'll never forget that cry. I'll never forget his cry when he saw his brother lying there. And it was not long, actually, during the time that Somi had passed away, I was about to leave my then boyfriend, my husband. And so I've already told him that I'm going to tell you guys this, so kei te pai. I had been unhappy for a long time, and he had asked me that night, just stay so that we can talk about it. And in hindsight, I'm glad that I stayed, or I would have never been, you know, there to support him during this time. But I left not long after the funeral. I picked my boys up, our two boys, and I left without why. I just knew that Somi taught me that life was too short to be unhappy. And Pleti had gone out to do errands. I think he had gone to the supermarket, and I just left. Two days later, I flew back to Brisbane, and that's where my life as a single mother would start for 3 years. This is when I was a single mum to our two babies, and it was hard. It was hard, and they're my greatest blessings. They are my greatest teachers in life, and they gift me and they lift me just by existing, my babies. And so they're the reason that, you know, from the outside, people say, oh, she's got such a good work ethic. She's got such good endurance. She's, you know, I've got all these good things going for me. But really, I got that from my kids. It was during these hard years as a single mother, that I gained my work ethic, because I wanted to give them everything that I possibly could. I waitressed, I did any job that I could, I worked all the shifts that I could so that I could provide for these babies. And they're my greatest inspirations. They inspire me every day. I mean, they're hoha. Bloody they're hoha. But I'm so grateful for our babies. This is my husband, and I feel like I must have skipped the... Hold up, whānau. I must have gone past the thing. I know. This is my husband, and fortunately for him, our love story wasn't over. 3 years later, I moved back to New Zealand and we got back together, and so this is sort of where we've come back together. And one thing that is really inspiring for me is my husband. He was raised in violence. You know, his discipline was getting a hiding and like a beating. And so when we got back together, I was a different woman. I came back and I wasn't going to be putting up with any crap. And I think the void that he felt in our absence was enough for him to know the healing that he needed to do to make us a family again. And I really have to acknowledge his healing, and I have to acknowledge his journey. He does things that are out of the societal and cultural norm of what a man should be like. He does counselling. He does the mahi, the internal mahi, not only for himself, but for our whānau, for our community, and I really need to acknowledge him. He always talks about how lucky he is to have me, and he is, but I have to say that I'm very lucky to be loved by him, and I'm very lucky to love him. To my beautiful cousin, Jamie. I knew I was going to do this when I got to her, but this is my cousin, Jamie Kowai. She's been missing for 3 years this October. 3 years without a trace. I'll never stop fighting for her. I actually wasn't going to talk about her tonight because it just makes me so pouty. But she deserves to be acknowledged. She deserves to be acknowledged tonight. She's been missing for 3 years this October, and luckily her investigation is ongoing into her disappearance, and me and my whānau will never stop searching for her, and we'll never stop fighting for her. But I was the last person that she ever called before she disappeared, and I missed that phone call. And I'll spend the rest of my life wondering, if I had got that phone call, would it have changed anything? What did she need to say? You know, like, and I'll never know. And so that's a part of my healing that is ongoing at the moment. But I've never been broken to my core or felt a pain so crippling as losing her. She's my first cousin, and we were raised like sisters at that same homestead, that same Kaiwai homestead. And I acknowledge her, and I ask you all to remember her name, and remember her face, because I honestly believe that she'll make a great change in this country one day. And so I want to acknowledge all of us here tonight, whatever your journey is on, whether it's a journey of hardship or a journey of loss, know that you're not alone, and know that you're not unseen. There's so many of us that, you know, you might look on and think we're all doing well, but we all have our stories as well, and this is only some of mine. And a lot of the times people compliment me as someone that is self-made. I hear that a lot. Oh, you inspire me because you're self-made. But self-made is something that I could not be. I'm the furthest away from self-made that anyone could be, because I'm not self-made. I'm atua made. I'm tipuna made. I'm Ngāti made, and I'm Wairua led. And tonight, as I stand before you all, I'm merely a result of moments that have broke me, only for me to be reborn over and over again as a new version of myself. I'm merely a result of those who have walked before me and those who walk beside me in spirit. So to them I pay homage. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, huri noa, tēnā tātou katoa.
Ooh!
Real Talk could be coming to a town near you, so check out the Real Talk website, www.realtalknz.co.nz, or follow us on our Instagram at real_talk_nz to find out where we'll be next.
I got you, Real Talk.